Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Looking for something sweet and a little different? Discover Michoacana Corinth Ice Cream Shop. Everything is made fresh in-house, from rich, creamy ice cream to refreshing agua frescas and handcrafted popsicles. And yes, they are on DoorDash. Michoacana Corinth Ice Cream Shop. Homemade flavor in every bite.
What's up? Welcome in on this Tuesday edition of the podcast. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here, as you always are. And thank you for subscribing to the podcast. Wherever you get them, just search Rebel Report and subscribe. If you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. Just a point of order, we will not be live on Thursday. There will be an edition for you that'll be recorded. It will not be live, unfortunately. So no live podcast on Thursday, but there will still be one on Thursday, just not live together, but I hope you guys can forgive me for that. New content coming your way, though. It is list season. It is list season, and I'm going to make one for you on Thursday. Tonight, we're talking about one where Pete Golding was ranked near the bottom of SEC head coaches. Is that appropriate right now? Is he being overlooked? We'll talk through that together. Some members of our radio audience did not like that ranking. I saw some, you know, social media message board reaction to that as well. But generally, I think it's fair. So we'll get through that. Maybe read some of your comments on this edition of the show. I am so glad that you are here. If you want your Ole Miss game day merchandise, that's the place to get it, right there. Scan that QR code right there. Or just go to collegecornerstore.com and you can get your stuff there. This edition of the podcast is presented by Scruggs in Saltillo, Mississippi. That's where they are, and that is where, if you need anything for your home, inside or outside, anything from appliances to home improvement to clothes, boots, even the cheapest beer in town, you also have a great fishing aisle if you need to feed your pets, if you need to take care of your garden, if you need to take care of your lawn, if you need to take care of your hunting property. They've got you covered with everything, but especially, most importantly, 0% on all of these John Deere things, all of these varying degrees of months, interest rate still at 0%, zero turns, 0%, five series tractors, 0%, compact tractors, you guessed it, 0%, commercial mowers, 0%, all John Deere at Scruggs, all of those at 0%. And if you want a Gator, Gators are super expensive at Scruggs, 1.9%. I'm kidding, of course. You can't get rates better than that anywhere, and you can't get better people than you get at Scruggs anywhere in the great state of Mississippi. Check them out, 3575 Tom Watson Drive right there in Saltillo, Mississippi, and tell them that it was me that sent you there. All right, Chris Lowe on three. Ranked the SEC coaches 1 through 12. I will go. We're here to talk about Pete Golding, so I'm not going to give my own rankings. I'm just going to tell you what he said, and we'll talk about the Golding piece of it. How about that? Smart 1, Sarkisian 2, Kiffin 3, DeBoer 4. I think that's a little high, but also he took Washington in the national championship game. So, you know, I guess if the shoe fits. Elko 5, Heupel 6, Drinkwitz 7, Lee 8, Venables 9, Sumrall 10. Sumrall to me is a little low. He has coached in the conference championship game in all 4 years of his head coaching career. I know it's at Troy and Tulane, but I think that he is better than 10. Beamer 11, Golding 12, Galesh 13, Lebby 14, Silverfield 15, Stein 16. Here is what he said about Pete Golding. Trivia question: how many current SEC head coaches have more than one win in the 12-team playoff? The answer is 2, Golding and Sarkisian. Golding is off to a rousing start in his head coaching career after taking Ole Miss to the playoff semifinals last season and playing Miami to the final seconds for a spot in the national championship game. But it's just a start, he says. Golding was promoted to head coach and took over during a chaotic time after Kiffin's exit to LSU. And the Ole Miss players clearly were on board with the hire and responded to him in a major way. Golding also did an excellent job of retaining key players in the offseason. He will again call his own plays on defense, which is a heavy load. I agree, but they've got the infrastructure in place to make that feel less heavy. Anyway, there's just not a large enough body of work to rank him higher, at least not yet. Okay, so that's Chris Lowe on three, Pete Golding ranked number 12. We talked about this on the radio show some, and a couple of the listeners did not like my position on this. And my position is quite simply, that is where he is appropriately ranked until he can have a full season as a head coach. There's a difference between what you think versus what you know, tangible, on paper, body of work, etc. Because I think that Pete Golding is built to be a head coach. I think that he can continue having high-level success at Ole Miss. I think you got a really good look at that during the playoff and navigating all of that and handling it as well as he did. I still maintain that there are very few people, head coaches, coaches in general, interims, coordinators, whatever, that could have done a better job at handling what he had to handle, that could have done a better job of navigating through all that, getting the team prepared to play, dealing with the portal the way they did, closing and recruiting the way they did, hiring the staff the way that he did. There are so many signs and indicators that he is going to be good. I would bet right now, if you made me bet, if you made me guess, flop or not, if you made me pick one, what is more likely, the more likely outcome for Pete Golding to be a success at Ole Miss or to be a failure at Ole Miss, based on everything that we have seen so far, I think it's clear that the answer is he is more likely to be a success, considering the way he handled everything in last offseason, the hiring, the recruiting, all of it. But we don't know yet what a Pete Golding run program is going to look like. He's only coached in three games. One of them was against Tulane, and one of them was a loss. That was not his coaching staff. Now, there's a lot of members of that staff that are still with him here. I think he did a good job hiring staff, but that was not his coaching staff. That was not the program built in his image. Now, a lot of things in it were, but the totality of the program that navigated the playoff was not his. Now it is. And so I think it's fair, beyond fair, the right thing to do to have him ranked somewhere around number 12 this season. You have to give credit for what happened, but you also have to acknowledge that he has not coached a full season as a head coach yet. These kind of rankings are appropriate until proven otherwise. I think that there is a chance that he is closer to 5 than 15 after this season when these rankings come out in the next list season cycle. But until that day comes, it's fair to question. It's fair to be skeptical or whatever the case may be until proven otherwise. This list is appropriate. Other lists like it are appropriate. And it's up to Pete Golding to prove the doubts wrong. I think he will, personally. But it's up to him to do it. And I said this on the radio show, and I will say this here as well before we move on, get to a couple comments and get out of here. I've got something I've got to do tonight, fellas, so this is going to be a very short one. What I will say, I don't want to be fan police. I don't think that's my job. I am of the opinion, though, that you should not alter your standards at all for what you expect out of your program, even in year one. This roster is too good. The staff is too good. The quarterback's too good. Barring bad injury luck, you should have the same expectation for this team with Pete Golding that you would have had with Lane Kiffin. Because this would have been a preseason top five team easily, maybe even a top three team going into this season had there not been a coaching change. They're going to be somewhere between 15 and 20 to start the season because of the relative unknown at head coach. But just because you like the guy doesn't mean that, in my opinion anyway, that there is a year one grace period in a way that the typical first-year head coach gets. A typical first-year head coach is arriving because the previous guy got fired, and there's a build that has to happen. There is no build that has to happen here. It's not even really a new guy. It's a guy that's been there. Half of his system is already in place. There's all this familiarity. The standard should be when the Egg Bowl is played, Ole Miss is firmly in the college football playoff discussion. That, to me, should be the standard of acceptance for year one under Pete Golding. Is that fair? Not particularly, because it is his first year. But the roster that he, to his credit, inherited and was able to keep together is too good for there to be a grace period. So if that is not, unless there's bad injury luck, if that is not where Ole Miss is at the end of the season, I don't care how much you like the guy. The reaction needs to be the same reaction that Lane Kiffin would have gotten had they not been in that position, considering the roster that they have going into this season. Do not lose your standards because the coach went somewhere else. The program is, you don't just win all those games because of one person. And the infrastructure, the money, the roster, everything is still there. So your expectations cannot be lower because the coach has changed. Yes, the schedule is more difficult. Shout out Greg Sankey, nine-game conference schedule. That really worked out. But generally speaking, to me, that is the standard. People ask that question all the time. What is the standard number of wins? I don't want to get into a win number that's acceptable. I want to get into a position. That's what I mean. If they're in the playoff discussion going into the Egg Bowl, a game that they will very likely be a heavy favorite in, that is where they should be. And that is an acceptable position to be in. Anything short of that, I think buyer's remorse will and frankly should exist. So number 12 is fine. I think he's going to do great. I think he's built for it. Everything you hear about recruiting and structure and hiring and process and all that is really, really positive. Really good. We'll see if they can put it together on the field this year. We'll read a few of your comments after I tell you about Logan Smith's Shelter Insurance. If you need auto, home, life, or insurance for your business anywhere in Mississippi, 601-823-3500. 601-823-3500. That's the number to call. Even if you have insurance, a phone call's not going to hurt you. Auto, home, life, or insurance for your business. 601-823-3500. Tell Logan Smith that it was me that sent you. Also, Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every day. 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely to be one near you. Check them out. They make you their priority. Local loan servicing and decision-making and more. And finally, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Over under three teams in the playoff this year for the SEC. I think three is the number. I think they'll get three, but I think it's more likely to be two than four. So only because the losses, this is why I say that. There's a difference between what should happen versus what will happen. Because people will hear that and roll their eyes and say, oh, there's no way the SEC is only getting two teams in. The league added eight more conference losses, and one team can't lose all of those games. Eight more losses have to be distributed among the SEC this season. The schedules are more difficult, and the last 2 years of the college football playoff has told you that strength of schedule has not been rewarded. It's number of wins and amount of losses. That is really what this has come down to. And they can talk all about, they clearly do not, because the rankings have not reflected a committee that has looked and weighed heavily strength of schedule. So I think it's more likely to be two than four unless they have changed their process. They claimed last offseason they changed their process. They did not change their process. So until they do, I'm not going to buy that they're going to weigh strength of schedule. Not too much to judge on, but he should be higher than Beamer. I mean, I would take Pete Golding over Shane Beamer right now, today. Easily. Beamer does have a 9-win season, though, as a head coach. Do you think any less than 3 teams in the playoffs this year get Sankey fired? I don't know if it'll be just that. I do believe that there is a frustration. You have seen more public speaking out against the league than you would think would be allowed. I do believe that there is a frustration with the league office with how a lot of this stuff has gone. I don't know if fired's going to happen, but I do think the next 6 months are very important for him. Not an expert, but I'll take Ole Miss in the over 7.5. Yeah, I saw the Bet MGM win totals. Those were odd to me. It almost all seemed low. Not a single SEC team has an over-under of 10. But again, shout out that extra conference loss. The odds they have Ole Miss making the playoff doesn't make sense with the 7.5, so I'm taking the over on it as well. I mean, a lot of that's just, you know, accepting of money. How confident are you that Trinidad plays this year with what happened today with Congress? I'm still as confident as you can be. I mean, a bill's not going to get passed. It's certainly not going to get passed anytime soon. They can debate this all day, but no, there's a lot of hot air that gets blown at Capitol Hill. I would not be overly concerned. If this was, you know, a year from now, maybe. I do think the Sorsby thing could possibly set a precedent that would allow the leagues to govern themselves and enforceably do that. And you could implement collective bargaining and do it separately. And I don't know. That's a conversation maybe for another day. But anyway, I got to go. I know it was a short one. I'm sorry about that. I have to go. You know, there's a lot that we need to talk about, and we can't tonight. Brayden Randall in the portal, not surprising. Middle infield at Ole Miss is decided, and he's not expected to be a starter. Guy wants to go play shortstop somewhere, second base somewhere. It's not going to be at Ole Miss, so I get it. It's unfortunate, but that is just the part of the transfer portal. But they're building a roster. We'll talk about that some other time down the road when there's a little bit more clarity with all of this. But I appreciate you guys being here. As always, I will talk to you on Thursday. It will be not live, but I'll still see you on Thursday. Y'all have a good night. Really appreciate you. Sorry for the length, but I got to run. See you guys.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.